Welcome to a special edition of the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast. I'm your host, Russ Conroy. As part of the Between the Lines program, a discussion was held between Dr. Bruce Chesson from the Center for Cancer and Blood Disorders in Bethesda, Maryland, and Dr. Stephen Park from Atrium Health Levine Cancer Institute at Wake Forest University. These expert hematologist-oncologists shared their insight on the E7438G000101 clinical trial and considered the use of tazemetostat, an EZH2 inhibitor, in relapsed or refractory follicular lymphoma.
Welcome to this Cancer Network Between the Lines program. Today's featured article is Tazemetostat in Relapsed Refractory Follicular Lymphoma, a propensity score matched analysis of EZ438G000101 trial outcomes. I'm Dr. Bruce Chesson, and I will be discussing this publication with my colleague, Dr. Stephen Park. Dr. Park, what are the typical patients with relapsed refractory follicular lymphoma that you see in your practice? How do they usually present?
Yeah, at first, let me thank you for inviting me, and it's very nice to join this discussion. So about patients with follicular lymphoma, just start with follicular lymphoma, which is one of the most common types of indolent lymphoma. And the patients with follicular lymphoma, they present with fever, chills, drenching night sweats, and weight loss, which are called B symptoms. But these symptoms are not relatively common. And the majority of patients with follicular lymphoma, they do not have any significant symptoms other than enlarged lymph nodes at their presentation.
Yeah, when they have those symptoms, I guess we usually are concerned they might have transformed to an aggressive lymphoma.
That's right. Yeah, if they present with B symptoms, and especially we also look at their labs, and if they have elevated LDH, that goes along with concern for transformed disease, and also on imaging studies on the PET scan, if they have high max SUVs, then yeah, we tend to kind of worry about any particular transformation.
Yeah, we tend to divide these patients into two basic groups based on when they have their progression of disease, whether it's within 24 months, the so-called POD24, or not. How does the prognosis of those two groups of patients differ?
Yeah, so follicular lymphoma is very heterogeneous. And as you mentioned, it seems to be there are at least two kind of very different prognostic groups. In the past, we used to use a Philippi score, and based on the scoring system, we kind of, sort of predicted their prognosis. But right, more recently, the POD24, so depending on their length of remission, if they have this is progression within 24 months of their initial therapy, they tend to have a much worse prognosis. So their prognosis depends on their response to initial therapy. And if they achieve more than 20 months of remission, then it actually appears that their prognosis is similar, their life expectancy is similar to those who do not have the diagnosis of lymphoma.
All right. Now, the drug we're going to be talking about today, tazemetostat, targets EZH2. Can you give us an idea of what the role of EZH2 is in the pathogenesis of follicular lymphoma?
Yeah, so EZH2 is one of the most commonly mutated genes in lymphoma, including follicular lymphoma. I would say approximately 20 to 30% of follicular lymphoma patients harbor this mutation. So EZH2 is part of PRC2 complex, which leads to gene repression. And so it turns out that overexpression of EZH2 actually interferes with cancer suppressor genes and can lead to cancer progression and more aggressive behaviors, including in patients with lymphoma.
When we have a patient with relapsed or refractory follicular lymphoma, we have a number of treatment options that we can offer them. And that number has decreased considerably recently with the flushing of the PI3 kinase inhibitors. What other drugs and classes of drugs do you most commonly use in the relapse refractory population? And how do you decide how to sequence them?
Yeah, we actually just talked about the heterogeneity of follicular lymphoma. And I think it really depends on multiple factors. And so we talked about the POD24, if the patient has any sort of aggressively behaving lymphoma. In that case, I think we tend to be more aggressive. And we think about stem cell transplant. More recently, we think about CAR T therapy, which is now approved for relapsed refractory follicular lymphoma after two lines of therapy. So I think those are sort of a special population. We think about more aggressive approach up front. For patients with indolent follicular lymphoma, then it depends on their baseline functional status, their age, their comorbidities, and many other factors that we look at. So let's say we commonly use our chemotherapy for the frontline. Let's say we use R-bendamustine. In that case, we kind of look into using other R chemotherapy like R-CHOP as a second line if the patient receives R-bendamustine. Or we consider rituximab lenalidomide in patients who are not great candidates for more aggressive R-CHOP chemotherapy.
So who do you consider using tazemetostat in?
So tazemetostat is FDA approved for relapsed refractory follicular lymphoma after two prior lines of therapy. In fact, it's approved for both easy to mutated and easy to wild type patients. So I consider tazemetostat as a more of a third or fourth line therapy, especially patients who cannot tolerate more intense regimen. And in my experience, tazemetostat is better tolerated compared to conventional chemotherapy with more favorable side effect profile.
Right, it is a pretty well tolerated drug. Now, it was the data were first published in full form by Frank Morschhauser in a phase two trial. The results seem to be quite different between the mutated and the wild type. What were the results of that study?
Yeah, so this study published in Lancet Oncology in 2020 was a large phase two study of tazemetostat as a single agent in relapsed or refractory follicular lymphoma. So in this study, tazemetostat showed overall response rate of 69%. With complete response rate of 13% in the EZH2 mutated follicular lymphoma. And in the same study, the response rates tend to be lower in the wild type group. And similar with the survival rates. So for EZH2 mutated group, the median PFS was around 13.8 months. Compared to 11.1 months in the EZH2 wild type group.
One day I was preparing a talk and it was on new drugs in lymphoma. And I pulled out that paper and I said, okay, let's include stuff about tazemetostat. And what caught my eye was the table comparing the patient characteristics of the mutated and the wild type. And what hit me was they didn't match at all. The mutated patients had two prior therapies versus three for wild type. 16% had five or more versus 30% five or more therapies. There were more patients refractory to rituximab, many more patients with a prior stem cell transplant. And as you alluded to before, there were a substantial proportion of patients who were POD24 in the wild type population. So they really didn't match up very well. And that led to this other study that we're going to be talking about, the propensity scoring analysis. What happened with that study?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, it was well-designed study, and it was a good study looking at the efficacy of tazemetostat as a single agent. But it was, I don't think it was really designed to compare EZH2 mutated versus EZH2 wild type and compare them head to head. I don't think they had enough sample size for statistical power to compare those two groups. So certainly that was one of the limitations of that study published at Lancet Oncology.
But then along came this matched analysis, which we published, in which we took patients from that study, 28 in each group, wild type and mutant, and matched them for a number of important features like POD24, number of prior regimens. And we had some interesting results. First, we looked at the match when the patients were not selected, and they really were quite different. And then we matched them for the various factors, and they seemed to be quite a bit more similar. How did you evaluate that paper?
Yeah, I mean, certainly this is a much better comparison. And again, the first study, it was not really designed to compare the two groups head to head. And this one, certainly by matching their underlying scores, propensity scores, I think this is a much better comparison after we normalize different factors, in patient characteristics.
When you looked at the initial population, they weren't very well matched for age, sex, grade, refractoriness to last therapy or rituximab, but following the propensity matching, they were much better, in much better agreement, which allowed for the change that we saw in the response rates, progression-free survival, duration of response, and other endpoints. The response rates, which had been 69 versus 35, really came a whole lot closer together and ended up being 71-50 after the matching. And I think what was most impressive to me, to us, was the progression-free survival, which the curves became almost superimposable. And the median follow-up of a couple of years showed that there really wasn't a whole lot of difference between the patients with wild type and mutated. How do you interpret this kind of analysis?
Yeah, so again, I think this is a more fair comparison again, and this is still not ideal with the lack of any sort of large sample size or randomized data. But still, matching the patients based on characteristics, certainly it helps to even things out. And as you mentioned, the response rates were more comparable, although we still see higher response rates associated with the EZH2 mutated group. As you mentioned, the survival rates were fairly comparable between those two groups.
And so do you think it means that EZH2 doesn't really matter?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, obviously, it's not definitive, and I don't think it really changes my practice because, as I alluded, It's FDA approved for both groups. So it's regardless of their EZH2 mutation status, it is still FDA approved for using relapsed refractory follicular lymphoma. I think that's the main reason, to be honest with you, why it's approved for both groups, because the study was not conclusive. And I believe analysis included in future trials. So I think we still have to wait for additional data. But just based on matched analysis, I would say certainly the mutational status of EZH2 should not be a deciding factor if you decide to use tazemetostat.
Right. So what are the remaining unmet needs in the relapsed refractory follicular lymphoma space?
Yeah, I think there's still a great need for more aggressive types of follicular lymphomas, the higher grade, grade 3B. And we talked about POD24, and especially transformed lymphoma. We still don't have great options for this aggressively behaving follicular lymphoma. So I think we still need better treatment options for these treatments, although CAR T appears to be more promising in this area.
Well, there are some other interesting therapies also in development, such as the whole cluster of bispecifics, which seem to be quite active in follicular lymphoma, and unlike CAR T, will be, when they're available, right off the shelf.
I agree. I think it's a matter of time that we start seeing those bispecific antibodies being FDA approved. So we're still, waiting for again additional data and the assessment by FDA. But yeah, just based on the data being presented at different meetings, certainly the response rates are very high with bispecific antibodies such as mosunetuzumab, glofitamab, and patients who respond, they have excellent duration of response. So it's hard to say whether those treatments will be able to replace stem cell transplant and or CAR T, but overall, I think they have more favorable side effect profiles compared to stem cell transplant and or CAR T therapy.
Yeah, I think those are the studies, bispecifics alone and in combination with other targeted drugs, that I'm really excited about and looking forward to the results. Are there any other studies that are ongoing, results of which you're really anticipating?
Yeah, actually there is currently a phase 3 study of rituximab plus lenalidomide with or without tazemetostat in relapsed refractory follicular lymphoma. So results of this phase 1 portion of the study was presented at the ASCO this year. This combination appeared very promising, with overall response rate of 98% with a CR rate of 51%, regardless of their EZH2 mutational status. So in this study, about 80% of the treated patients were EZH2 wild type. So the fact that the overall response rate was close to over 95%, it's very promising for both EZH2 mutated and wild type groups. And in terms of the safety of combining tazemetostat with R square or rituximab lenalidomide, it appeared overall well tolerated with no unexpected serious side effects. And now the phase 3 portion is going on, so it'd be exciting to see those results of the phase 3 study.
Well, thank you for sharing that information. I think we're about out of time here, and I would like to thank Dr. Park for his wonderful discussion of the two papers, the initial study and the propensity analysis, and for his thoughtful discussion on current and future directions for patients with relapse and refractory follicular lymphoma. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure talking with you, Dr. Chesson.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available, or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at cancernetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at cancer-network.